Hello, PHCC. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 10 of PHCC Rocks, a podcast highlighting some of the great things happening all over America related to the National Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors Association. I'm your host, Joel Long, and we're coming to you from Gastonia, North Carolina, which, as always, is today's worldwide headquarters of PHCC. We're really excited today to have some wonderful men with us from the state of Pennsylvania, the great state of Pennsylvania. Right, Mike?
That's right.
That a baby. So we're fortunate today and blessed to have Mike McGraw and Larry Shoemaker with us from Pennsylvania. And Mike's the executive director of PHCC Pennsylvania, and Larry is serving as the president of the PHCC of Pennsylvania. Is that correct, Larry?
That is correct.
Have they got you on for like a 6-year term and they're not letting you out?
Sometimes it feels like it.
Don't do too good a job, Larry, okay? Don't make sure you don't do too good a job. But hey, guys, listen, it's really a treat to have you with us today and looking forward to it. Mike and I go back a long time, and we were both better looking and younger when we met, and which is not saying a lot. But, one of the things I've loved about doing this podcast is the first thing off the bat every time is learning how guys like y'all, how you got involved with PHCC, and just give us some of your background and how, you know, how you ended up there. Who wants to go first?
No.
Nobody. Mike, go first.
All right. So, well, first off, I didn't wear my jacket because I knew you weren't going to wear a jacket today.
I told somebody today that I wonder how long before the over-under was 30 seconds before you would bring up the jacket. So go ahead and tell them. No, you got to tell them.
Yeah. So we were, I don't even remember which one it was.
I don't either.
Probably 8-9 years ago when I met Joel at a Connect, and we were just getting introduced for the board and stuff like that. We were like, should we wear a jacket or tie? We're like, I don't know. I don't think I was going to wear one. Joel's like, yeah, I'm not. And I show up, and I don't have my jacket on. Joel comes in. He's got his jacket, his tie on, and everything. I'm like, thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks a lot. That's been a joke every time we see each other at Connect.
I felt so bad, Larry. I felt so bad. And that light later that night, I don't remember who, Hunter or somebody says, you got to wear a jacket. You got to wear it. And, man, I didn't even think about it, man. And as soon as Mike walked in, he goes, what are you doing to me, man? But anyway.
He never gave me the heads up. I'm
terrible. I know. All right. So this podcast has gone in the tank immediately. But anyway, perfect. All right. Larry, now that Mike's finished. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Mike.
So my first choice when I was in high school was to go to auto mechanics. And I started my first year of Votech, is what it was called back then. And I started doing work with my cousin on the weekends. He was working for a master plumber, and he was doing some side work and needed a hand. So I started helping him, and I started really liking what I was doing there. So I switched my major at Votech from auto mechanics to plumbing. Went through the technical schooling and then through the apprenticeship program, and really was liking doing plumbing. So graduated, worked for several different companies. So I started actually working in the trade when I was 16, so 45 years ago when I started into the trade. Yes, I am old, so. But I loved it. I went into my own business for a period of time with my brother-in-law. He was on the HVAC side. I didn't do much HVAC. I did plumbing and hydronic heat. And that was really good for a while, but we decided it was better that we were going to part ways from the business. And at that point, I went and started a plumbing division in a general contracting company.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and I did that for probably 8 years. And the general contractor was moving to Florida. So, and I think that was in 2009, he was going to move to Florida. So I spoke to my wife. We were deciding whether I was going to go back out solely on my own and start running another business. And at that time, Pennsylvania. So I served on every board for my local association and my state association as a contractor. I was president of my local Philadelphia Suburban, president of the Pennsylvania PHCC, and dealing with an administrator and executive director through that whole time from 19. I got on the state board as a director in 1993. So from 93 to 2009, I was on that board in some sort of capacity in the executive committee. And so as an executive committee, we were in search of a new director. We were going to start that search and whatnot. So that was the same time that the guy that owned the contracting company was moving to Florida. I spent a lot of time doing PHCC stuff throughout my career, probably more than I should have when I was in business. But I loved PHCC. I put a lot of time into it. So came up with a proposal to our executive committee. And in 2010, they made the decision to bring me on as executive director. So I started January of 2011, I believe it was.
So. Okay, so 11 years now? So.
Yep, 11 years. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because the executive director before me was telling us that AEC, you know, was just a good club and people didn't do anything and whatnot. We paid for him to be a member, but he never participated. Mm. And I said that to my board, I'd like to go. And the first one, I missed the very first year for it. I think it was in New York with Dorothy Reddy at that time. I missed that one. Mm. And I think my first one was in Chicago. And I came back and I said, this, you know, this thing is great. And I could tell it was a networking group, just as PHCC is for contract.
It's a path to the promised land for execs. Yeah.
Yeah. So still in the industry, still in the trade. I love it. Yeah. And I tell you, there's never a day that I wake up and get out of bed and say, oh man, I got to go to work today. Yeah. I just love what I do.
Yeah. There's something new every day. That's for sure. Something different, yeah. You know, and before Larry, you know, Mike, as long as I can remember, you know, there's probably six or seven just top execs that, you know, when you're in some kind of meeting and getting started and your name always comes up when, and I hope Larry, I hope you guys in Pennsylvania understand that, and I'm sure you do, that you know, if something's needed or there's a question or how something's supposed to be done in a great way, your name is always one that comes up. And, you know, and then I try to talk them to somebody else, but still, you know, your name comes up. But, but you know, and I hope y'all realize that. I mean, in Pennsylvania, I know in North Carolina, the executive directors we have has just made all the difference. And so when you got it's amazing, isn't it, Larry?
It is. I mean, Mike takes this. It's not a job to him.
Yeah,
he runs it like it's his own business. You know, he takes it to heart. He shows up. The hours he puts in is incredible. I can't tell you how many meetings he goes to at night, works all day. He's down at the school. He's out at the state in Harrisburg. He sits on, I don't know how many boards. I mean,
it's obvious. Okay. We're not saying anything else good about him, Larry. Come on, man. His head won't fit on the screen if we keep talking, man. But no. Okay, Larry, but it's, man, it is all true, Mike. I hope, and people all over the country know that, Mike, and appreciate it, man. So what you got, Larry?
I went to Votech. My father was a plumber. I graduated out of school. I didn't want to be a plumber, so I went to go to be a forester. You know, I went to forestry school for a year, found out it was super expensive, came back for a year. I was going to earn some money, and then I never went back. I put myself through the apprenticeship school, and from there, I got asked to teach, bought the business in 2003, and that's when I joined the local PHCC, taught, served on a couple of places on that board, did vice president, president. And then I got asked to sit and do the secretary position for the state. And from there, I got asked to run for vice president. And then that takes you right to the president spot, right? So
well, good for you.
Yeah, we're kind of roped in, right?
Yeah, once you get started, you can't get out of it. Trust me, I know all about it. It'll just take, it's just a temporary thing. It's no big deal. Well, Larry, that's great. You know how many, a ton of people that we talk to as we've done these across the country with the business guys started, it's interesting how many of them, started in one place, but ended up in the apprenticeship program or ended up in plumbing. You know, they didn't, almost nobody starts off, you know, that they're going to do this. And then they end up just loving it. And so that's, yeah, that's a really good piece to hear. So one of the things too, I like to touch on is, you know, with being a part of the oldest trade association in the country is really, I think, a powerful statement for our success, with that we have to change all the time and we have to adapt all the time. The association is old, but that only means that we keep changing. Think about how much has changed since we got started. And then, you know, I'd like to hear from, you know, how Mike, you guys give us a snapshot of Pennsylvania PHCC and, you know, kind of where you stand today, members, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so Pennsylvania PHCC, well, it started out in 1894. It was known as Pennsylvania Association of Master Plumbers. In, I think it was 1953, they changed to the Pennsylvania Association of Plumbing Contractors. Don't mind that. Our president does that all the time.
Well, he's busy.
Yes, he is a busy man.
That's the best, man.
So, yeah, in 1953, they amended their corporation to be the Pennsylvania Association of Plumbing Contractors. And in 1976, they amended it again to become the Pennsylvania Association of Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors.
And the IQ went way up.
Yeah. Yep.
Sure.
So that's where it is now. So, yeah, 1894. They used to have a building in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, that was their home office. But with the way technology is today and everything now, it is worked out of an office out of Harrisburg, because we don't go up there too much, except unless when we're doing legislative stuff. So currently today, in 2011, when I became executive director, we were at 149 members. And I remember when we were probably at 300, over 300.
Oh, wow.
When I was on the board. Today, we're at 205 right now.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, yeah, we're doing good on getting some new members and younger guys in right now. So.
Okay, so some stability has helped a little bit with the exec.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, exactly. Yes, sir.
All right. One of the other things that I've really enjoyed is, you know, every state has best practices. You know, it's interesting as you talk state by state, every state's different, the association, and their focus is a little bit different. And one of your main has got to be, that I've heard for years and years and years, you talk about it, and when you and I talked about it the other day a little bit more, is how you approach legislative affairs and how you focused on it for so long and so direct. So talk, both of you talk about that a little bit, if you can, about why that has become so important.
You're muted,
Larry. Man, this is going to be the best.
This is going to be the best.
Larry is our tech guy. How do you know? He is the tech guy in the association.
Larry, I'm just not showing it right
Rocco,
now.
Rocco, man. Listen, Rocco, do you know Rocco Fan out of Ohio?
Yes.
Man, I love Rocco. But when we were doing his, he slammed his fist, and he muted himself every time. And it'd be right in the middle when he was really excited. And he would go, I mean, you know, this is high. And we had the best time. But anyway, so tell us about, you know, this legislative focus, man.
So Mike has a big lead in, Mike and Walt have a big lead in trying to get that license pushed through. Mike sits on the PA One Call board for the state. We also do what the big push is that public sewer lateral inspections. And we're finding a lot of the townships and municipalities are going after that. So there's a big push and a drive where the state has put together this program that a township or a municipality can adopt this program to inspect these lines without making up all these crazy rules, because we don't have a state license, which really every township, every municipality, you know, at the end of the year, we have 40, 50 licenses sitting on our desk that we're paying for. And everybody wants these different rules, especially for this public sewer lateral thing that the EPA is just saying you have to have, but they give no guidelines to, right?
Wow.
So
instead of having one state, a state association, that standardizing the licensing requirements. Y'all have 40 or 50 different townships, and they all have tweaks. Is that what I'm, they have little discrepancies or differences or whatever?
They do. And
different cost. Hmm. There's 2,600 municipalities in Pennsylvania, different counties. Okay.
So your real major then legislative focus consistently and for years, right, Mike?
Yeah. So when I became executive director, I also then became a lobbyist for PHCC and to lobby for statewide licensure. And we've been so close so many times. Walt Krasinowski, who's our treasurer, and he's a UAC guy, he's a lobbyist for them as well. He and I would go and lobby together for the statewide licensure bill. And that was shocking enough to the legislators when we went to their office and sat down in front of me representing Open Shop and Walt representing the union, lobbying for the same thing. And, you know, Pennsylvania is exactly like Washington right now. It's basically put on party lines, regardless of whether they think something's right or wrong. I mean,
I understand.
I hate to say it, but that's just the way it is right now. And every time, last session, Pennsylvania runs 2-year sessions.
Okay.
They're legislative sessions, but they have a lot of breaks in between. So they're not on all the time, but they have a lot of breaks in those 2 years. So last year, we didn't bring it in the last session because of COVID and all that. It's very hard to lobby, you know, without being in face-to-face, whether you're in the local office or in the Capitol in Harrisburg. So the year before that, session before that, we were very close. We had a fight, a real fight in the House, and it was the first time we ever got it passed in the House. And then the Senate, it got shot down in the Senate. So this year, we have a freshman senator who's a master plumber, who used to be the business manager for Philadelphia Plumbers Local 690.
Okay.
He introduced the legislation for us back in July. It got introduced, but we're nearing the end now on election year. It's in the Senate. We're trying to get it out of committee. We probably will get it out of committee, but by the time the end of the year comes, you know, staff, we're going to have to reintroduce it. But, the one thing about us, and people will say, oh, you know, my dad told me years ago, you know, we were going to get a license. You're not going to get it. I said, well, we may or we may not get it, but if we don't do anything, you're never going to get
That's
it.
That's right.
You have no opportunity.
Failure is not trying. And the failure is when you exactly. know something's so. When you know something's the right thing to do that you just quit. And so,
And the relationships that we've created just by lobbying for one bill, we have legislators now that call us and ask us opinions on things that are coming through to Harrisburg.
So that long-term issue just helped you build relationships. You know, we talk about that all the time at the national level to make sure that at home you're building relationships with the Washington contingent. So when you go to Washington, it's personal instead of just some guy showing up. So, okay.
And Larry's a lobbyist also.
Okay. Well, I guess you have to be if you're spending all this time trying to actually – I mean, licensing is a huge deal for your success of your businesses. I mean, if we – I can't imagine in North Carolina if we had different bodies in every city. It would be complete chaos. And so I guess you've gotten used to it in some ways.
Yeah.
But you, But you know that a state license would fix a lot of that for customers too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
and it's most of it's about customers because at the end of the day, it'll make it easier for customers to get consistency, right?
Yep. Yep. Definitely. And the other big issue with it is reciprocity. So contractors coming into Pennsylvania, out-of-state contractors that are on our borders and come in, every municipality will accept their license because it's a state license.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, yeah. No,
so
they come in.
So you're at a disadvantage because you're inside Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And if even if you have a license in the municipality, even if it's in the city of Philadelphia or the city of Pittsburgh, which are the two largest cities, you cross into Ohio or you cross into New Jersey, you can't work. You can't bid on it because they won't accept that license.
So what would you, I mean, all across the country, we're seeing things like this go on. What would you recommend as a board and you know, and an exec to help with that focus on legislative, you know?
So we've done days at the Hill, and we've had representatives from National come up. This is really, it's not too far from Falls Church to Harrisburg. And then we've had letters, and the grassroots letter writing campaigns is a big, big help.
Yeah, okay.
All we got to do is call up, and we'll get the link and send it out. It's done.
Valentini is a rock star in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so, well, we haven't had him too much because last session, which was two years, we didn't really do any campaigning for it, but it's coming.
Okay,
it's
coming. So we'll make sure he's on board. So listen,
he's always asking me about it. Okay. Yes, he's very, very in tune to it.
And so Nationals helped you tremendously over the years with fighting that battle. I like the letter writing is a massive thing, and it's helped us in North Carolina a lot and all across the country. So.
Yep.
Okay. You got anything to add to that, Larry? Or
it's that and money. It's trying to get that PAC fund built up. That's going to be our next thing that we're really working on, because everybody else that we're fighting against, and they got money, and
you know, that's a good
legislators need the money.
That's a really good point, to not wait till the last minute to try to raise that money either. Be consistent in that. I see that, you know, we think something's coming all of a sudden, and we're going to raise a bunch of money instead of being consistent on that across the board. So yeah. Okay. So I want to switch gears. Give us something that nobody knows about you guys that they would want to know.
You really want us to say something like that on this thing?
Yep. All right. Help me out, Amy. I'm going to go. So, I need to get my picture up here. Go ahead. What's
so a lot of my friends know me, but I don't know about my PHCC friends, but I am a lifetime and Hallmark Channel junkie.
Hallmark Channel junkie.
Oh, yeah. The movies, especially Christmas time. I watch them over and over. My wife and kids are like, tell me I'm insane.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding.
No.
I wouldn't have shared. I would not have shared that.
Well, you know.
You too.
You're up, Larry.
You too, Larry. All right. You too, Larry.
I'm pretty much an open book. You know, there's not really much. No, people. I hunt. I fish. I golf. I'm a horrible golfer, but I'm a little bit of a prepper.
You work too hard.
Yeah, I worked. Yeah, but
you're a prepper. Okay.
A little bit of a prepper. You know, I got some storage stuff if anything would happen. You know, but yeah, just
can you see about it. So? How much of a prepper? I mean, I want to know a little bit. Do I need to?
A couple months of food. You know, got. Yeah, you know, the house is pretty much sustainable. I'm about battery short of being able to cut off from whatever.
Okay, so I mean, we have a couple months of food too, but that's probably a lot more food for me than it is you. So I may be more of a prepper than you are. So, can you see this screen that I've got up? Can you see my screen?
Definitely. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So Mike, I want you to explain this. This is the kind of stuff we need to know.
But that bowl of 18 scoops of chocolate ice cream there?
Yes.
So I was always up for challenges. First off, I'm a chocoholic. Everybody knows that about me. So I eat chocolate ice cream, chocolate cake, chocolate candy. Love it. But okay. Chocolate ice cream is my favorite. So my brother went to this restaurant with his wife one day, and they had this thing on the menu, and it was for dessert. It was for four people, and it was called the kitchen sink. And he came home and he told me about it. He's like, I don't think you'd be able to do this. And I said, well, I think I could. So we scheduled it at night. We went back down, my wife and I, with my brother and his wife. We ate dinner, sat in the booth, and dessert came, and the girl came out and says, you know, you guys want anything for dessert? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to try that kitchen sink. She's like, for you? I said, yeah, for me. She said, for the table, you mean? I said, no. I said, I'm going to get it. I said, I'd like to just have it all chocolate if I could, because it was various ice cream and different scoops. And she's like, okay. And they brought it out. And they, it took me, it was probably one of the toughest things I had to eat, but I did it. 30 minutes, I'm telling you.
Oh, my God.
My wife was not happy with me.
Your wife was not happy? So
no.
So, okay.
But I'm telling you, it was very good, and I ate the whole thing.
So, oh, my God. So that's the best thing we're going to do today, I promise you. So, I don't know. Brothers, say it was your brother?
Yeah, it was my brother.
Yeah, brothers will get you in trouble, man. My younger brother will get me in trouble with stuff like that. So, oh, God, I'm sorry. Well, when you sent me that picture of that, I had to show that. That's the best thing ever. All right, Larry, anything besides the prepping, anything else?
No, that's about it, yeah.
You don't eat ice cream like?
I work a lot.
Yeah, okay.
So that's about it.
I understand. So, yeah, Mike, when we talked about some of the successes you guys have going on, you know, something really jumped out at me, and I've heard it all across the country, this whole thing about figuring out how to market PHCC and figure out how to help our contractors, you know, a lot of different pieces, but how to recruit people, how to improve the narrative. You know, we have this narrative that coming into the trades and kids going to instead of going to college, and you got some, so can you talk about, you know, your videos for a minute, and then I want to play one of them.
Yeah. So that was really Larry's, idea on trying to come up with a different way to market different groups of people. Some of the videos are pretty similar. We have four of them, but they target young adults, they target career changers, parents, and contractors. But Larry can probably speak on to them, because that was really his making.
So it's a really good idea. We knew it wasn't yours, Mike. So Larry, it had to be somebody else's. So great. So talk about it. I mean, Larry.
We just need a way to get more students to the school. Get that word out. I'm on a lot of OAC boards.
What's OAC for us?
Advisory boards.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Advisory boards for the VOTECs. We have a lot of VOTEC schools here.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
I found out that isn't norm across the country.
Right.
So I'm big in recruiting. We have a lot of apprentices that would come in here. We train. I don't have a people problem. We train in-house, and I recruit from all the schools. So I need that constant influx and people going to the apprenticeship schools. And this is a way, if we can get them to the PHCC and we can grow them, it helps the local association, because that school grows. There's money coming in. That's a profit center to do other things. And sure. Once they're in there and those students are there, they know about the PHCC. They're there. They know the whole story. You can get the contractors in that. It's easier to get contractors. If you don't have that school, it's really hard to show that value of that PHCC mm-hmm. right there in front, you know, and it's all about that value.
Yeah. You know, and we see that once, you know, a lot of kids today too, we see, they really haven't done much hands-on. It's a different than when we grew up. You know, we were always messing with our cars, or we were, you know, or maybe, you know, it's probably our fault as parents that we're trying to do too much for them. You know, dad said, yeah, okay, whatever you need, figure it out. You know, and I think I think now we try to help them too much sometimes. But we see these kids, once they get their hands on something a lot of times, and they see that they can make something or improve something or do or make something work, they it's amazing how quick they take to it. So let's play that video. Let's play that. I quit trying. Amy's going to just do it, because if I mess with it, it's going to be a. Let's play this video that you guys sent, and look at that, Mike. Look at that.
Dessert. Oh, look at that!
Look at that, man.
Looking for a career that combines technology and hands-on mechanical knowledge? Want great pay and work in a field where nearly 1 million jobs are expected by 2029? Graduates of the PAPHCC Registered Plumbing and HVAC Apprentice Programs earn their journeyman's license, and that leads to more opportunities and higher pay. And that's not even the best part. You earn while you learn. No debt, more pay, job placement, and attractive career opportunities await. Visit paphcc.org to learn more and enroll today.
Wow. You got to like that, don't you?
No, we love it. They turned out great.
Yeah, we're super happy on how they turned out.
So you're showing that. How are you getting that out? Social media?
Social media. It's on all the digital platforms. It is. We're showing it on Comcast, which is one of the cable companies up here. Okay. For our local, and Bucks is going to show it, Philly Suburban. So the three schools in Pennsylvania put the funds together, put this together.
No kidding. Okay. So you got sponsors basically. Your three schools did that.
Schools, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we have three brick and mortar schools in Pennsylvania, and then we have the online school.
Okay. So the outcome for this is you guys would highly recommend to other associations across the country to figure out how to do something similar to this to get the professional view. And I know we've got some videos at PACC Nationals, but use those kind of videos to project such an image. I loved those kids on the stage throwing their stuff around and smiling and, you know, and then how professional the kid looked with the suit on. I mean, it's just a really great image.
We make that kind of a requirement at the, and each school has their own graduation, so they don't all graduate the same spot. But all three schools are having their graduates. We make it be a big deal for them.
Yeah.
And they can't show up in jeans and a shirt, you know, because their parents are there and all that. And in the end, you see, you know, celebrating. It's just like they, you know, they graduated college.
Yeah.
And they don't have the debt. So.
Yeah, parents love. That's what we're seeing. Parents just absolutely love that they're being able to, they start their career, they get moving, they get out of the house, and they don't have debt. Isn't that a great format?
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, they hug you more than the kids do, don't they? Yeah,
it's getting that mindset change. The years and the years and the years of, you know, everybody went down the trades is like a, you know, the dummy kind of thing, you know. So it's getting that mindset out. It's getting out there. It's starting to change.
Yeah, we're seeing it too. So great stuff on that. The other videos, and they're similar, but they any different twist on those that are important?
They just in the beginning, like, and I can send you. So you can just view them anyway when you want. The one for contractors just starts out, you know, you're looking for, you know, trainable apprentices or whatever. It's geared towards the company, and then the other one goes to the parents. And so, by the way, it will be on the Hallmark Channel, too, in my area.
Of course. Of course you will. Wear a coat and a tie. I guess the other thing I was going to mention, talk about, you told me that y'all, and I've heard this across the country, people try come, our association's trying to do it. You've developed an app for Pennsylvania, correct?
I have.
Talk about the purpose of that and what you're trying to do with it.
So again, it was all about the value and communication across the board. Previously, nobody knew what any other local was doing, any other of the events. It was all that email chain, and that was about it. To get that value for these younger members and try to, we weren't collecting those young business owners, okay. Right? That was a hard market to grab. This kind of gets them involved. They know exactly what's going on all over the place. They can share their stories on there. They can ask for advice. They can, if we have events, they can pay for it there. They're not worrying about bringing a check. They know what it is. They can see who's showing up. We can post all that on there. All our vendors can post things on there. We can have trainings that can be shown right on that app. And that it's just utilized just for a communication tool all the way through. And there's a thing, even our company, there's a group setting on there that we use on a daily basis. What trainings are happening each day, if there's a snow delay, if somebody gets a review, they get that a boy, or somebody does something really good, something happens, you know, we use that as communication tool. It goes out, you can post on there, and only our company's on that one part. And that can be shared throughout the PACC.
No kidding.
So we can divvy this up that each state can have their own division. They can either look at everything going on throughout the United States, or a state can have it that they just see the state stuff, and every state can have their own locals on there, and the communication can be right across the board for every state. And this has been going on. So I had on the phone, we had the first test run when Albuquerque was around, when we were at the Albuquerque Connect, and showed it to Hunter Biden down there. And it was brand new. We just had it, and it's been going on for that long.
Okay.
You know, and it took about a year and a half before that.
3 years.
Yeah. A year and a half before Albuquerque is when we started this.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, Mike, what do you think is the outcome for you with that app?
So we finally, it took us a while to get people to sign up, download the app, get on it. So I also run a plumbing school in one of the locals, and that is our only ways of communication now. I made all the students how to download the app. When school's closed or an instructor needs to change something or question, everything goes through that.
And now you're using that groups. You're using that groups piece on that. Is that right?
Yeah, using the groups. And so the apprentices have their own group where they can talk with each other. And we can see it, Larry and I, as administrators.
Okay.
But the apprentices can't see anything that we're talking about or anything that's private. So they have their own thing. So if somebody's doing something that, isn't really good for the app or shouldn't be broadcast across there, we can shut it down from, they're communicating.
As an admin. So if let's say your company would have that app, you get assigned that admin.
Sure.
We won't see it at all then. You're the only one.
So each company can have its own admin to monitor it or whatever. It's really turned into a massive communication platform for your members. Larry, you said to show value. So the association has taken something and run with it that now the companies in your association can use at a lot of different levels beyond just the association.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Big stuff. So we have our annual trade shows coming up in May, and it's in person this year. And the way to sign up is on the app. The vendors have been signing up on there. Larry puts most of the stuff up there once we have the forms done. They just go on and purchase the booth right there.
So it's really streamlined. Simple. Instead of you doing stuff online, it's streamlined, like on your website. It's really streamlined the communication and all that.
Okay. Yep. Yes, sir.
And before, when we had a local meeting, so the treasurer or the secretary of the treasurer would be getting text.
Sure.
Emails, whatever. Somebody would call them up. Hey, I'm going to show up. I'm not going to show up. And it was this huge process, right?
Sure.
So now everybody just goes on the app. We got everybody, almost everybody, but right. Go on the app. They pay for it. We know who it is. It's there. Everybody can see who signed up. Everybody can see his name. It's there. And the payments.
Do your locals? Sorry to interrupt. I didn't mean to interrupt. But the locals have their own chat. Is that how works too?
Oh, yep. Okay. Yep.
So you've got so many layers that it really streamlines their communication, but then it's all coming through the state association in reality. It's provided by the state. Is that?
Yes, 100% correct. Okay. So,
and there's a total timeline on there that you can post to everything, or you can just post to where your local is.
Do you mind, if you do, just tell me. I know Mike's not bashful, but give us some kind of budget for like a state association that wanted to do something like this. What would be a ballpark to get started? Do you know?
If you wanted to start your own, we have about $50,000 in TARS.
Okay. Over 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're letting, we will set this up to run your state right with this for $199 a month.
Oh, you're kidding. So you've got a path for all the state associations to use this, and you'll help them.
About 4 years.
Okay. Four years and all kind of headaches. Okay. Well, that is great. Yeah. Well, so great advice and help on that. And be careful, Mike.
One more thing in there.
Yeah.
Right. So they can actually make, they can put vendors in there as advertisements to actually make that $199 back.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. So it becomes really inexpensive.
Be a local vendor that, sure, that state uses would, okay, would pay for it in no time.
Well, that's a great outcome of this podcast. Good grief. So any other advice on that marketing, those two kind of marketing things for other associations, if they say, okay, I want to do something like this, how to get started, just call you. Is that the best thing?
Yeah. Okay. Call me, email me or Mike.
Okay.
We'll get it going.
All right. And so look up in the directory and look up Larry and Mike in the PHCC directory, which is a great magazine, and we'll they'll help you. That's awesome. Okay. So guys, I was going to, anything else on that?
No, that
I don't think so.
Yeah. It's a growing process. There's a lot more moving parts coming with it. So we're just, it's still growing.
Well, guys, man, we're about 45 minutes in, and I've been told that if we go, you know, much longer than that, we get a little nuts around here, so we try to do that. But I do, you know, we do just about every time talk about, you know, most of the leaders in PHCC that I see read, or some of them just look at pictures. But do you guys, any, I asked about, you know, any reading or anything. Do you got anything you've been reading?
The last thing I read was 1 Minute Manager.
Oh, yeah.
A couple months ago. That's a good book. It's like the third time I read it. You know, those little things.
Make me angry, Larry. You know what I mean? Because they're so simple and accurate. You know what I mean? You read them and I'm not. I could do so much better. You know, when you read something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then what else do you read a lot of? You said you were getting ready.
I put a lot of PowerPoints together. I do most of the trainings in-house. I'm reading a lot of just getting the trainings together, putting PowerPoints. That's where all my reading time is going. I don't usually read books or novels or things like that.
The strategy, just the pieces and components of technical stuff. You read a lot of technical. Yeah. Okay. All right. I fall asleep, man. That's great. All right, Mike, what about you? You got picture books, don't you?
What's that? What kind?
You've got picture books, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it is. So, first off, if I do start to read a book, I fall asleep. So, just like you just said, it's hard for me to do that. I've never really been a book reader, except that when I had to. But, you know, more recently now, I am reading just, you know, books with pictures. Like, I think the last book I read with my grandson, Connor, was Ball Control. It's pretty neat. A lot of pictures in there. You know, I'm learning a lot from my grandson.
That's the best, man.
I know. I really am not a reader unless he comes and gets on my lap and wants to read the book.
That's
what I'm reading.
That's a pretty good deal. I remember those days. That's a pretty good deal. Okay. I do have one I was going to recommend. It's a book called Good Strategy, Bad Strategy. The Difference and Why It Matters is by a guy, Richard Rumelt, and I've read about half of it, but last week there's a chapter in there talking about chain link systems, chains, and how, you know, all of our teams and everything are only as good as the weakest link. And it just struck a chord with me because, you know, we spend all this time building all these teams and all this stuff and trying to get better and get better and get better in our businesses and our associations, but then there's one weak link. And a lot of times we ignore that weak link because it may be maybe it's a difficult conversation or, you know, there's a little bit of, maybe we don't know how to handle it. You know, Larry, I think in your training, you know, you end up the parts that are already working well, you keep working on them and you got this weak link over here that's killing you and it comes apart. And so that really struck a curve with me, a nerve with me. So just if you get a chance to read that book, it's, and I'm not through it all the way yet, but the parts I've read are pretty impressive on how to visualize things. And I need visualization. I need pictures, Mike. I need a lot of pictures. So guys, listen, I've enjoyed it. Anything else? Anything else you want to add in closing?
I think, all your podcasts, I enjoy listening to them. And I think you're doing a great job as our president.
Definitely. You're doing an awesome job.
Mike, I tell you, thanks both of you. You know, it's been pretty humbling getting to know people better. you know, we in today's world with COVID and everything, it's been a blessing for me to get to listen to your stories, everybody's stories, and just take some time. And, you know, I think COVID's actually helped us some because we didn't do this kind of stuff before. And we wouldn't have had these kind of opportunities to talk like we do in this kind of format and have other people see it. So I've been blessed, and I have to give credit to my brother. He is doing a local podcast here, and that's where I got the idea. Don't tell him I said that, but but he's done 42 this year in our community, talking about the great things going on in our county, and he's 10 times better at it than I am. But so I was very fortunate. It's kind of fell into place because of that. So, yeah, it's been great. So thank you so much. I do have to tell you, though, guys, y'all, what you shared today is very, and I hope you understand, that's very impactful for other associations to see a path to go get things done like you're doing, the videos and the, you know, a lot of times it's simple things. You do a video, and that's not simple necessarily to implement, but the idea of doing a video that resonates that you can – reuse and reuse is a great idea. And then this app, Mike, how long have we heard about apps? Oh, we got to do it again.
Yep.
But not knowing how to do it. So I'm sure you're going to get some feedback and direction from other people. So listen, guys, I just want to thank you. It's been a real blessing today to spend some time with you, and we have really enjoyed it. So all of you out there, thanks for taking time to listen to our podcast today. And I do have to say that Mike and Larry are from the great state of Pennsylvania, and it's only second to North Carolina. And Tennessee and Georgia. I've been told that if I don't say that, I'm in a dig. Anyway, you know that deal, Mike. But guys, listen, thank you so much. And if you get a chance, look up our other podcast and make sure you go to track this one down on Spotify and other platforms, and Instagram and other platforms. And guys, hope you have a great week and a great month, and look forward to it. And thanks for all the time. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.